W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. If you're further north of here, you're not in the middle of a snowstorm. Your area may be well below freezing. In some cases, maybe both. The good news in Kansas City is that it's about as cold as it's going to get there right now. WTOP's Steve Dressner says the bad news.
Here in the downtown Kansas City area under sunny blue skies, we have low-digit temperatures. The feel-like temperature around 20 below zero. Plenty of people out and about here in the plaza area, but we're still finding plenty of snow-packed streets. Very treacherous walking conditions. Some of the sidewalks, just a sheet of ice. And the winds have kicked up. Plenty of people are out about trying to get back to normal. Steve Dressner for CBS News, Kansas City, Missouri.
The Great Lakes region and most of New York State are getting the bulk of the snow right now. FlightAware.com says the combined total of delays and cancellations in the U.S. is approaching 12,000. With about 10 hours to beat the deadline, the House has passed a $1.7 trillion spending package.
On this vote, the yeas are 225. The nays are 201. Voting present, one. On this vote, the motion is adopted.
President Biden says he'll sign it as soon as he gets it. The spending plan includes election law reforms aimed at preventing a repeat of the Capitol insurrection. CBS's Scott McFarlane has more on the January 6th committee report.
The panel issued 11 recommendations in the report to help prevent future attacks, including strengthening enforcement of the 14th Amendment, which bans insurrectionists from holding public office. They argue that would prevent Trump from running again.
It also recommended a more rigorous oversight and full funding of Capitol Police. To protect election workers in the future, it recommends protecting their identities and increasing penalties for threats made against them.
And to bolster its subpoena enforcement power in response to the Trump allies that refused to comply.
In El Paso, migrants seeking asylum have been camping out in frigid temperatures because they can't find shelter. KDBC-TV's Fidel Moreno Mesa.
Temperatures are below freezing, and that wind chill making it feel much worse. Here in downtown, there are still several migrants lining both sides of the street here near the Greyhound bus station. The city also sending out one of its buses to let migrants in and sit in and keep warm.
City officials have asked the state for more staff to help house and feed the migrants. Wall Street, the last day before Christmas, Dow closed up about 177 points. The Nasdaq gained 22, and this is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60-foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at end-of-the-year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
The Badgers.
Under pressure, down he goes.
The Cowboys.
Tightrope to sideline, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Live from Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona.
They win the game. They are bowl eligible, and they keep the Freedom Trophy.
It's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Join us Tuesday. Our coverage begins at 7 p.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Catch all the postseason action right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Snowmobile trails in Lincoln County will be open today at 3 p.m. The city's funded trails in Zone 1 are the only trails that will be open on Friday. This early in the season, trails may be rough and icy in some areas. Pay attention to closed trail signs, stay on marked trails only, and respect private property. If a water body is not marked, you should consider it unsafe. A few Zone 1 trails will stay closed. Check the Lincoln County Forestry Land and Parks Department website for more information. The FBI says hate crimes went up by 54% in Wisconsin last year. 111 hate crimes in 2021 compares to 72 the year before and 50 the year before that. The numbers are going up despite fewer law enforcement agencies reporting hate crime data to the FBI. Advocates tell Wisconsin Public Radio they want to create a bipartisan commission to inform state government about hate crime research. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Snow showers likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows around 4 below, northwesterly winds 20 to 30 miles per hour. Highs level off around 3 above, tomorrow chance of flurries. Lows around 5 below, tomorrow night partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now 4 below.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
And sees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Merry Hump Day, Dominic. The last live show that you and I will perform together before the Christmas holiday.
Happy Hump Day, Crudy. Happy Solstice to all in our audience. Thank you, Evan, on the board, screening your calls and working the magic. It is a Wednesday that feels like a Friday, and I'm feeling good today, buddy.
As am I. Here's what, you know, let's go off track. Tangent, just a little bit.
We had a big plan, but now we're just going to wing it. Well, okay, go.
Let's see. All right. What do you want for Christmas this year? Because I've got a wish for you, Dominic. I have a Christmas wish for you. A, that you find Jesus Christ as your savior, so you're not bound for hell forever.
Not going to happen, but please continue.
Oh, and B, for you, my friend.
Yes.
A better attitude. Yours kind of sucks today.
This is as good as it gets, man. This is as good as it gets. Oh, come on, you come on. I mean, my entire lifetime, I'm more jovial and laid back now than I've ever been.
Come on, man. You were busting my chestnuts not 15 yeah. minutes ago.
Oh, that's business. We're just talking a little work stuff, man. You know how that goes. I want world peace. World peace would be nice. I want justice to be done. And I did buy myself a laptop. I finally had to replace my laptop that I spilled some booze on when I was visiting Izzy. It was finally done. So I had to go get myself a laptop. So, you know, really very, very little Christmassy going on for me on my end, man. I spent a lot of money doing that.
Well, first and foremost, every Christmas, I want good guests. And we got the finest of guests today, so that will not be a problem. John Nichols from The Nation joining us in just a little bit. 4:30 Central Time, John joins us, and James Santel, a recent guest, the returning champ, he's back, former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannolis, Skip this week, you know, Christmas Eve and all.
Yeah, so if you want to hear Jim, you got to come around here today at 5 o'clock, because that's you're going to get your Jim fix then.
Clark, he's the gift that keeps on giving. So we got Jim Santel, and we'll talk about, you know, release the taxes. But where I want to start today, I think Tony Evers, the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, has a gift, a proposal for you, Dom, for me. I'm going to throw Ebone in there as well. Perhaps all the fine listeners of this show, you, Tony Ever proposes a Christmas gift for you. Dom, legalize marijuana.
I am dreaming of a green Christmas, Crudy.
I think we all are, aren't we, Dom?
That part will come true as well.
Well, perhaps the Democratic governor, who was democratically elected, unless you ask Tim Michaels.
If you believe him. If you believe in elections, he was.
Well, he's been out doing budget listing sessions. Right now, it's budget time. You don't think of it. Because, of course, we haven't even had an inauguration of Tony Evers for a second term. But we've got budget preparations coming. And we've got promises, Dom. Tony Evers said he'll reintroduce a plan to legalize marijuana for recreational use as part of the budget he unveils to lawmakers early next year.
Yeah, baby.
Our pal, Sean Johnson, at Wisconsin Public Radio, reporting. But here's the big but. But Evers said he'd also sign a bill to legalize medicinal marijuana if the GOP sent one to his desk. And sadly, Dom, that might be the best we can hope for. This is not the first time that Tony has put legalized marijuana in his budget. And I would point out, Tony Evers, when there were a lot of people running for governor back in 2018, there were a few candidates that, let's just say, were leading from the left on this issue. But Tony was not. Tony was not down for legalized recreational marijuana, not as a candidate. But, you know, he's evolved. We all do. Time has turned. The calendar has turned. And Tony's opinion on legalizing marijuana has also turned. And he put it in the budget last time, and I was somewhat encouraged, Dom. I'm like, Tony, there you go, man. And then the Republicans destroyed, Dom, I would say, our dreams of legalized cannabis here in the state of Wisconsin. At least the kind we like, you know, the good stuff.
Oh, man, the Republicans
not
are such
the near
a buzz
beer stuff.
You know, I mean, even the polling, what, like a half of Republicans are down for legalized weed.
I'm sure that those that receive donations from the Tavern League, less so. And here's the problem. Tony Evers is going to put it in his budget, and then Republicans are going to take Tony's budget, and like they did 2 years ago, Dom, they're going to shred it. They're going to throw it away, and they're going to start over. Despite the will of the people of Wisconsin, the listing sessions, they're done now. And I'll just say after the fact, don't waste your time. The will of the people in the great state of Wisconsin is not served under the legislative gerrymander that, you know, puts these Republicans in power like a tick. And they're not letting go, Don. They're not letting go. They're like Fred Preen, the DNR guy, that he won't quit. He won't quit. He's been replaced. His term is done, but he's not leaving. Well, these Republicans, Dom, they baked partisan gerrymandering into the cake back in 2011. And here we are, another decade of it. And the only chance we have for any sort of representative governance, you know, and other than Crudy's harebrained scheme about citizen initiative, you know, binding referendums, which aren't going to happen because we need the support of the legislative majority, which currently Republicans, they ain't giving up the power. So they're going to take Tony's budget, they're going to throw it in the shredder, and then they're going to hand back a budget that includes a big fat tax cut for rich people, a huge expansion in the taxpayer-funded choice school program, and no legalized marijuana, and probably insufficient revenue sharing and insufficient funding of our schools and higher education. Another kid-friendly, people-friendly Republican crap budget.
So, Tony Evers, last time around when he put legalized recreational marijuana in the budget, did not stand by it, right? They took it out.
Did not fight for it.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. He took it out and he accepted what they gave them. I hope he has a different attitude this time. Number one, we have a huge surplus to deal with right now in the state of Wisconsin, which is a great thing. Those are good problems to have. It's better than having a deficit, right? And so there should be lots of money to go towards lots of things. We have investment to catch up on in many, many areas in this state. Evers is not going to be down for expanded school vouchers and all that. And what, you're just going to have two identical school programs? funding one of them and not the other? I mean, how is this going to work? And he's not going to be down for tax breaks for the wealthy. I don't see, unless it's part of a greater scheme of overall tax rates for the middle class and others, I don't see how that goes down. So if you're going to end up fighting over $6 billion, you're going to end up fighting over school choice and funding the public schools, you're going to end up fighting over these issues, and, you know, certainly legalized cannabis in the state of Wisconsin is something worth fighting for. As the reporting, as Sean writes at WPR, Wisconsin, crew, we know this, is on its way to becoming an island among Midwest states when it comes to recreational marijuana. Hell yeah, that's why we go to Illinois and Detroit. Already, marijuana is legal in Illinois and Michigan and Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz, a Democrat, said his state will pass a bill to legalize marijuana by May. By May! 37 states allow for medicinal use of cannabis products, and a total of 21 states also allow for the sale of recreational marijuana. 21 states surrounded by, in Wisconsin, you're surrounded, Minnesota, coming up on in May. Come on, you guys. This is, and we're, what are we doing? We're giving up several hundred million dollars a year, at least $200 million a year in tax revenue, let alone the job creation, let alone the how this affects and impacts and takes away some of the disparities in our justice system. All of a sudden, maybe, you know, you won't get, smells like weed, you better get pulled over for that. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It gives me a pause not to, like, you know, be mad at police officers for pulling people over for weed. So let's get over this, people. It's already been done. It's being done. And if Governor Evers is going to have to fight for a budget anyway, this should be one of the things he fights for.
I hope he does. I'm less than confident. But here's a statement from the governor, Tony Evers. It's going to be in the budget. No question about that. Again, recreational legalized marijuana. But Evers said it was his sense that GOP lawmakers might be willing to accept something less than full legalization. No, what you're saying, Tony, is you're willing to accept something less than full legalization. So thank you for undermining your own position in the very next statement, but let me read on. There's an increasing number of people in the legislature that might be willing to go towards medicinal marijuana, Evers said. Like 88% of people recently polled, Pew Research, I believe, 88% want that. Do you think maybe you could find some Republicans, some reluctant Republicans to go along with 88% of the people of the state? Well, you know, as long as it doesn't take anything worse than a strongly written press release, as long as Evers doesn't have to actually do anything or accomplish anything. Let me read on. There's an increase, I'm being redundant here, but I want to make sure it's all in context. There's an increasing number of people in the legislature that might be willing to go towards medicinal marijuana. If the legislature can rally around medicinal marijuana, I certainly would sign that bill. Now, the GOP support for medicinal marijuana was tepid last session. Tepid, Dom. Although a handful of Republican lawmakers are vocal supporters, Republicans held a public hearing in April on a plan to legalize the drug for medicinal use. But the move came after the legislature had already adjourned for the year, meaning the bill could not pass. Still, State Senator Mary Feltskowski, Republican from Irma, described the hearing as a significant step to win over reluctant Republican lawmakers. Feltskowski, who is a cancer survivor, said that she wishes medical marijuana had been an option during her recovery. Yes.
It was. It just wasn't a legal option.
Wisconsin is on its way. Well, you talked about it. We're an island surrounded by rational, sensible policy, actual governance, the will of the people being done in all the states around us. But not here, because we're being led by Republicans in a journey.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in. Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. At least this segment, John Nichols from The Nation, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Dominic, I know what you want every year for Christmas. You're very predictable. A bag of weed.
You know what I like to do, Crudy? I take out a joint, I crunch it up, you know, and break it all up and roll a couple of joints, and I hand them out to my friends and family because it's a wrapped gift. It is the best wrapping that I actually do, and I hand it, hey, I wrapped you a gift. I mean, who doesn't love a loose joint for not even for your birthday or for the holidays, but just in general?
You know what? I prefer, what is it, 12 or 7? I prefer how the Jewish people celebrate the lighting 7 days straight or nine. What is it? The menorah. I forget how many days. I apologize to my Jewish friends, but you know, the joke, the relevance.
Eight. Evan says eight. We're going with eight.
You know, eight loose joints. That would be the perfect gift. One for each of the nights of Hanukkah.
I understand, Crudy.
Or Kwanzaa, or even solstice. Solstice.
Thank you. Yes. The solstice is here, baby. Every day gets longer from here on out, at least till June. I understand the criticism for Governor Evers. He's in a tough spot to some regard. And I would, at the end of the day, if all he was able to do was medicinal marijuana, I would take it, of course. Of course, I would take it. And I would go get my card, and I would go, you know, explain to my doctor what my ailments were. You know, Republicans stress me out, man. And then I'd go get my medicine. I would not have to worry about being charged with a crime.
You'll get nothing in like it, Spalding. You're not going to get medicinal marijuana. You're not going to get recreational marijuana. You're going to get another Republican budget, probably signed by our Democratic governor and claims of victory somehow. I mean, that's the frustrating part. You know, I get it. The practical political atmosphere we lived in, the intransigence of the Republicans. But you got to be willing to fight for what you care about. If he really cared about this, he wouldn't already undermine his own position by saying, yeah, but give me medicinal marijuana and I'd take that instead. Right?
Yes.
I mean, that undermines your position.
Yes.
This is my bottom line unless you offer me less. And then I'll take it.
And then I'll take it.
I mean, right?
But he's not standing. He's not standing and fighting on that hill, man. I mean, he let it go last
he's
time.
He's not fighting
let
on it go any this? Hill.
Well, I mean, still at the end of the day, you got to get a budget passed. There's $6 billion. There's still some issues that they have to agree on to some extent. I mean, it is bipartisan in the sense that Evers has to sign it, man. Every budget is bipartisan.
by its very nature.
Or you don't sign it until it's more palatable, let's say, to a Democratic administration. The people reelected Tony Evers for a reason. And if all he is there to do is rubber stamp Republican policies, regressive tax flattening for the rich people in the great state of Wisconsin, I mean, they're going to give away.
Do that? He's not going to do that.
I don't believe
he's going to do that.
Tony Evers will not sign a flat tax
budget.
We're going to go from like 3.5%, the proposition of the Republicans, to like 5.5%. And those making the highest marginal, paying the highest marginal tax rates here in the state of Wisconsin, the very highest earners, they're definitely getting a tax cut, Dom. They are definitely getting a tax cut. I mean, Republicans will write this policy. The Joint Finance Committee is 12-4 Republican, and our friend Tony, and I know it's a difficult political position if you aren't willing to stand up and fight for anything, but that's what I elected. That's what we elected. That's what we voted for. The fight to go advocate for our policies, right?
But you also voted for governance, confidence. And you got to move forward, and you got to, you know, you got to deal with the other side, right?
You can use, basically, I mean, how's the federal government being funded? Through ongoing continuing resolution. If Tony Evers fails to sign the new budget, we just continue on the $6.6 billion surplus generating former budget. The world doesn't end if Tony doesn't sign the budget. You know what I mean? At some point, you get around to it. You know, Scott Walker wanted to go declare his presidential campaign. So eventually he got around to signing the budget. Tony Evers will eventually get around to signing the budget. But put the onus on Republicans to come halfway your way. Don't start by saying, here's my bottom line, unless you want to cut me off at the knees, because I'll be all in for that. That's not as a guy who's done a few negotiated deals this year and throughout my entire career, Dom, I'm a deal maker. I'm a wheeler dealer. Get something.
Would you take no legal or recreational or medicinal?
Well, that's what he took the last two. I know. Budgets,
what would you take? Would you take zero? I mean, you're going to say I'd rather have nothing than
zero.
Medicinal.
They're not giving you anything. You're not getting anything. It's not like I'm asking you, Crudy.
I'm asking you're the governor. The Republicans come and say, okay, we don't want recreational marijuana.
Oh, of course, I'd take the half step.
Yeah, so the wheeler deal negotiating guy, you do the same thing that Evers is talking about.
I wouldn't lead with that in my negotiations. No, sure, if Republicans want to meet and negotiate out a deal on legalized medicinal marijuana, sure, be reasonable. But they don't even have a reasonable advocacy there. They're not talking about flower. They're not talking about the stuff you smoke in a loose joint. They're talking about some manufactured fake cannabinoids that they might accept, but only if you have cancer and you got three doctor's notes and you're currently in chemo. That's not exactly what you have in mind, Dom. You're looking for the easy pass. I know what you're looking for.
Come on, man. I was on the beach in California. The doctor on the boardwalk, the doctor was in. I went in, I paid the money, I got my medicine. It was real easy.
Yeah, I just skipped the middleman and went straight to the dealer on the beach at Venice Beach. Kid had a great selection, I'll just say. Just like they do in Illinois, just like they sued well in Minnesota, and like they do in Michigan, and it's all legal there, and they collect the tax revenues, and you know what? In Colorado, they all say look towards Colorado. You know what happened in Colorado? The teenage drinking rates went down, the drunk driving rates went down, and the opioid overdose deaths went down. That'd all be terrible under Republican policies. Come back, John Nichols, our good friend. It'll be a Merry Christmas up in here in no time. John Nichols from The Nation, more Devils.
Because we're very high.
From what I've heard, you're using your paper now.
The Shaw 101 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends, whatever makes their holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit countryhearthbreads.com/sweeps.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny.
The Johnson Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby and his distinguished guests for this Christmas Eve.
Be our guests for the WFHR tradition of 30 hours of Christmas. Starting at noon on Christmas Eve, enjoy 30 hours of old-time radio, classic Christmas music, and special broadcasts of the Sunshine Polka Show, Seth Faces the Music, and Director's Cut. Exclusively on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, it's a Merry Christmas from all of us at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Is the cost of college weighing you down? Don't worry. There is a ton of untapped federal financial aid available right now. The University of Wisconsin system has financial aid experts across the state waiting to help you finish the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. Go to wisconsin.edu for more information, and FAFSA will show you the money, but only if you fill it out. Sponsored by the University of Wisconsin system.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Two high school juniors in Merrill running a successful lawn care business have branched out into snow removal. Twins, Sergi and Roman Runch, started their business, Two Boys and a Lawnmower, 4 years ago. They decided to offer snow removal this year. They shovel driveways and sidewalks after school and on weekends for Merrill residents. Their parents suggested the lawn care job as a way to make extra money during the summer. The twins have turned it into a full-time business. Governor Evers says he's keeping an eye on concerns over the social media app TikTok, but that he isn't looking to ban it from state phones and computers. Republicans are trying to get the governor to ban TikTok from state devices out of fears of Chinese spying. The governor says a small number of people in his administration use TikTok, and that he's spoken with the FBI about the dangers of hacks and leaks. Be careful driving today. The winter storm warning continues with dangerously cold air and wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Snow showers likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows around 4 below, northwesterly winds 20 to 30 miles per hour. Highs level off around 3 above, tomorrow chance of flurries. Lows around 5 below, tomorrow night partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 4 below.
And guest, like our current, soon-to-be joining us, live via phone, he is John Nichols from The Nation. John, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. How you doing, man?
Hey, John.
Oh, hey, brothers. Doctor my eyes, man. What a nice intro for this moment in our history.
John, you
know? We've seen too much.
I think so, man.
John, I'd play a little Christmas music for you, but in light of, you know, how the last heartless station ingloriously left the airwaves. It's sort of a bad thing around here. We don't play Christmas music much.
Really? Oh, yeah, because it's like in the old Soviet Union when they went to certain kind of classical music, right? You knew something really bad had happened.
Right.
Now, in this case, I love Christmas music, so I got no trouble with it. And I don't want to join in your, you know, fruitless boycott of it, but I will tell you that, you know, if it's not Christmas, it should be Jackson Brown.
Well, John, let me ask you. We were just playing a little, you know, radio game, but what do you want for Christmas? Well, what I really wanted for Christmas was a Trump indictment, but we got criminal referrals. I'd like to see the man's taxes. Those should be coming in short order. And if Tony Evers could just bring my little buddy Dominic some legal buds, he'd be doing just fine. So, well, John, what do you want for Christmas, and what's realistic, sir?
Oh, well, you see, that's a two. Of course, I want peace in Ukraine. All right? I would take that because I think that would be a very nice way to play things out for the year. And if I could do one other thing, if I get to be greedy, I put peace in Ukraine in my stocking under the tree. I'd like to tax billionaires at the same level we did during World War II and into the 1950s, about 92-95%. So you give me those, I'll take, I'll have a Bud Light.
You know, an attitude like that's going to get your Twitter account canceled, John Nichols.
No. If you own Twitter, I say nice things about you, but I'm not sure he's even in charge anymore.
But he is.
Did he have a poll where the people voted that he should give it up?
Well, we don't poll because they would tell us to replace Dom, and we don't want to hear that.
I don't believe it for a minute.
I don't know about that, man. I've been seeing some of those results coming in, and Dom's looking pretty strong in the suburbs.
Well, John, let me ask you. Legalized marijuana, Tony claims, and new reporting says, we could get legalized marijuana for Christmas, maybe by next year. But I'm a little suspicious, John. I know that every time Tony Evers puts something in the budget, Republicans just put the budget in the shredder. And hand it back to them. I mean, we're not getting legalized marijuana. We get bubkis, except tax cuts for the rich, probably.
Well, the problem is, it's like, I think you'd have to be smoking something to think that a governor on his own could get you legalized marijuana. I wish he could. But until you get Robin Voss, to go with you to Bonnaroo and to kind of open his eyes, to recognize the possibilities, I think you got a problem, because Robin Voss has made it very clear that he's just not a party guy. What was the mistake along the way? Where did Robin Voss go to college? Was it Whitewater?
He was college roommates with Reince Priebus, I believe. They were young Republicans at Whitewater, right? Weren't they? And Paul Ryan, colleagues at the time.
No, Ryan was over to Ohio. Well, Ryan went to Ohio, and I know.
My bad.
But I'm pretty. Yeah, it's okay. But I'm just thinking, like, didn't somebody like give him a Traffic album or a Grateful Dead album?
John, it is frustrating, and we read some of the reporting today. Illinois, Michigan, they're legal recreational marijuana there. Minnesota's going to do it in May. But here we have, in Wisconsin, an island in the Midwest, and Robin Voss and Republicans. Even with the polling, I think Marquette said 83% are down. Citizens of Wisconsin are polled, are down with legal medicinal marijuana, and like 60-some percent were down for recreational. So it's not like the demand isn't there. It is, John, is it so callous and calculated that it's just a matter of whatever legal weed lobby starts cutting checks to the Republicans? I mean, is that what it takes?
Oh, yeah, I think it would really help. Am I supposed to lie to people or what? I mean, if we're going to be honest with folks, right, the Republican Party has made it pretty clear that it responds to money. That is sort of the whole point of the modern Republican Party, aside from some creepy authoritarian tendencies that have come into play recently. I hate to say that, but yes, that probably would help if you're really calculating these things out. The other thing that would of course solve the problem, and we unfortunately don't have it, is a referendum system. In other states where you're allowed to put this on the ballot, of course it wins. People vote for it. They even vote for it in like the Dakotas. It would win in Wisconsin overwhelmingly. And the problem is that we lack that avenue. And so ultimately, if you want to get to progress on a host of issues, that includes legalization of marijuana, but you've run a whole list of other issues, you're going to have to change the makeup of the legislature. And the only way that's going to happen is if you undo gerrymandering. The only way undoing gerrymandering will happen is if progressives take control of the state Supreme Court and they get a redistricting case and actually decide it as it should be decided, which is to let the voters pick their officials rather than letting the officials pick their voters.
John Nichols, I love that notion that we perhaps could cast upon those we elected what we would want them to do instead of the other way around. Just to correct
Crazy,
the record.
I know.
When Priebus and Voss were in school together, college roommates at UW-Whitewater, so was Andy Speth, Paul Ryan's chief of staff. That's probably where I had the bad illusion from. And Jim Ladwick,
Paul
Racine County executive.
But I think Paul went to Miami of Ohio. And the last question I have is where Brian Schimming, the new chairman of the Republican Party, went. And I'm not clear on that, but I think he might have gone to Whitewater, too. So there's a Whitewater thing here in play.
Well, all the finest broadcasters come from UW La Crosse, I hear, John.
I totally have heard that. It's pretty well written. It's writ large in the stars. But I'm just telling you that what was there? I mean, Whitewater had to have a record store in its day. And again, I'm going to go to my point. You know, like, why didn't someone play the Grateful Dead for these guys?
Well, here's
why didn't they introduce them to, you know, some alternative way of looking at things? At which point they would say, yeah, I fooled around a little in my youth, and I think it's fine if we legalize marijuana.
Well, John, they apparently hung out, did a lot of on-campus political things, young Republicans that they were, and as Robin Voss said, they say it's something in the water. As Reince would say, it's probably something in the beer, you know, that made them all so political.
Beer is very proud of Wisconsin, the beer state, you know, and I totally respect that part of our legacy. But, you know, again, I think it would have been very good for them if they had kind of mixed it up a little, right?
If they'd have known us in college, John, this state would be much cooler.
That's all I'm trying to tell you. You know, I just think this isn't a very complicated thing, except that it is affecting policymaking. And
yeah.
I fear, my friends, that your cute little fantasy about getting legalized marijuana in Wisconsin is getting upset by the reality that Robin Voss says no. And at this point, you know, Tony Evers can prevent Robin Voss from doing bad things, but he can't make Robin Voss do good things. As best I can tell.
Well, John, what do you see the math, the outcome on the budget? I mean, Tony Evers put his budget out there the first time. Republicans trashed it, and then he vetoed theirs and sort of Frankensteined it into something a little bit better. Last time around, he didn't even Frankenstein it, John. He just signed off on the Republican budget and declared victory. John, if you want something...
Yeah.
I know they call it log rolling, but you got to negotiate. You got to a little this for that. Yeah. I mean, Donald Trump teach these boys nothing, John?
Well, no, I think Donald Trump taught them plenty. That's the problem. But the challenge that we've got is that, you know, when the last budget came down, Wisconsin was in a very, you know, complicated situation. We kind of were still struggling through COVID. We had some revenues coming in, which was to the good, but we also had a lot of challenges. And I think there was a general sense of, you know, let's not fight. Let's try and get something together here and go for it. And that's, I think, where Evers went. It ultimately proved to be very smart politically because he was reelected by a much wider margin than he was initially elected by in a very complex, very intense election. So politically, he probably made the right move. Practically, you know, I think that we're now at a point where a lot of things are coming to a head. And from Evers' standpoint, it's a good argument now for fighting this out. And again, it's kind of that model that I think we know always in a situation where you're disempowered, where you don't have the full authority that you would like to have. What you have to do in that situation is use the bully pulpit. You have to talk to the people of Wisconsin, not just, you know, live in the Madison bubble, but go beyond it and really push hard for, you know, the policies that you favor. And I think if Evers, with the mandate that he got in the 2022 election, if he were to go out there and really, you know, talk it up, like fight hard, for a budget vision. It's not necessarily that he would get it easily, but he might get more of what he wants. And also, remember, if we're talking about the Supreme Court race, this possibility that control of the Supreme Court shifts to a more enlightened majority, and that more enlightened majority chooses to take up the issue of gerrymandering redistricting, then you might have a situation in 2024 where the vision that Tony Evers has put out as governor could be part of a statewide election contest in which possibly Democrats could win. And so there's no loss in fighting at this point. In fact, there's a lot of benefits of fighting for an agenda that, you know, is rooted in economic and social and racial justice, and that has popular issues like legalization of marijuana as a part of it.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times friend of ours joining us. John, thank you for doing so. I want to get your sense before we head out to the break here. The January 6th committee referred criminal referrals for Donald Trump and Eastman, but also for some Congress folks, Jim Jordan, Andy Biggs, Scott Perry, and what, the potential incoming Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Yeah. Now, Kevin McCarthy is going to put people on the ethics committee that are going to investigate him. What's your thought on the work that January 6th has done so far and where these referrals go?
Do you want to go after the break? Do you want to keep going or not?
We got 2 minutes here, man. We'll go after the break as well.
How much time you've got. If you want to, we can. I'm glad to come back and give you a longer explanation.
But yeah, I'll come back after the break as well. We got 2 minutes in this segment yet. What about the ethics referrals for the Congress folks?
It's the dumbest thing I ever heard, right? You know, sort of like, it's like you come down and you say, well, you know, Kevin McCarthy refused to cooperate with this committee, and he needs to be held to account by the ethics committee. Excellent. Good idea. Finally, we're going to crack down on Kevin McCarthy. By the way, who's going to be the next Speaker of the House? Oh, that's probably going to be Kevin McCarthy. What's the first thing he's going to do? Oh, he'll appoint the Republicans on the Ethics Committee and the person who will be chairman of the Ethics Committee. So, what's that going to mean? What it means is nothing will happen. And so while I think it's appropriate to have done the referral, they should have done that referral back in the summer when McCarthy and when other people were refusing to cooperate. They should have put it into the Ethics Committee immediately. Even that was unlikely to get much action. But doing it at this point is just an exercise in futility, I hate to say. Because I just don't think Kevin McCarthy is not the smartest politician I've ever dealt with. But even Kevin McCarthy is smart enough not to put somebody on the Ethics Committee that's going to crack down on Kevin McCarthy.
Well, you're presuming, John Nichols, that Kevin McCarthy's got the votes, and I'm not convinced. I am convinced I'd like to talk more. John, you got a few more minutes for us?
Yeah, so if we're going to talk Kevin McCarthy, I'm first in line, man.
Well, you are indeed first in queue. John Nichols from The Nation. He's a friend of ours having a little Christmas wish list. If Santa would only bring us everything on the list this year, John, I'd be a happy camper. Come back. You'll be a happy camper. More of the Devils and more of John Nichols. And you, perhaps, as well. 844.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I
get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform. I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere, so the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Currently 6 below.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, you can go to civicmedia.us, click on the shows tab, and listen to the Devil's Advocates. Also find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google.
Dominic, we've got the finest guest. He's stuck around. He's John Nichols from The Nation, friend of ours. John, I got to ask you, the dates have been dropped for the big RNC event coming to Milwaukee. Dom's quite excited, I can tell. July 15th. Through the 18th of 2024, John, we're going to be the political center of the universe that summer. Yeah, like a summer and a half from now. John, you looking forward to the RNC or something else?
Well,
or
I
no?
Hope they come No, I certainly hope they come early to enjoy all the French Fête de Marquette type festivities on July 14th, right? Isn't that like a big Bastille Days and stuff like that? Where they storm the castles and
storm the Bastille, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I think they're going to wrap it up before Brady Street Days, most importantly.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to fit it in. But no, I'm totally happy they're coming to Milwaukee. It makes me super happy. I've probably not been as happy about a convention, you know, since Chicago 68. Because the Republicans, in their genius, have chosen to come to a city that was actually governed for, you know, the better part of half the last century by socialists. So they're going to, you know, I'm hoping that the, you know, Milwaukee city government will have the wisdom to put those banners up by the flagpoles or by the, you know, light poles that say, you know, welcome to Milwaukee city of socialism. Because I think the Republicans would really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they have little pictures of, you know, like Frank Zeidler and stuff around. You know, so I plan to enjoy it from that standpoint. Otherwise, you know, beyond that, I think that, you know, the Republican convention in Milwaukee is probably going to be very useful in one other way, which is it is going to remind Republicans in real time, it will remind Wisconsinites in real time of how Republicans operate and who they are. And usually having the convention in a state helps you politically, but looking at the current condition of the Republican Party, I think there's a pretty good chance that having them come to Milwaukee will absolutely convince Wisconsin not to vote Republican.
John Nichols, my friend Dominic's been putting forth a theory. See if you agree with it. The Republican Party's in disarray. John, Donald Trump's obviously soon to be an indicted former president and presidential candidate. Ron DeSantis got to be sensing the blood in the water. There's about a dozen other Republicans that are going to jump in as soon as we get through the holidays, I suspect, John. And I'm wondering, do you think it's going to be a bloodbath? Because I think Trump may be a diminished candidate, but he's still going for blood. He's still going to chop Ron DeSantis off at the chestnuts, if you know what I'm saying, John.
Well, he's going to dress Ron DeSantis up in white boots and send him out to a flood. The truth of the matter is that Donald Trump has only one thing he's good at. And this is true. He was never good at business. He went bankrupt 4 times. He's certainly not good at being president. That was pretty obvious. But he is really good at shredding other Republicans. And the way he does it is he picks one at a time. Right, he never goes against the whole field. He doesn't do like the, you know, Rambo situation where 20 people attack you and you fight them all off. Right? No. He goes one at a time. He destroys one and then he gets the next. And I can tell you, he loves doing that And he is going to love doing it to Ron DeSantis. And the problem for Ron DeSantis is that DeSantis is pretty much as crazy as Trump, right? I mean, he's as bad as Trump on most issues. But the fact is that because the media and the Republican elites are talking about DeSantis as an alternative to Trump, DeSantis effectively becomes the establishment candidate. And there's nothing Trump likes better than hanging that label around somebody. So DeSantis is toast. I mean, in fact, when I look at DeSantis, do you know who I see?
Scott Walker.
Scott Kevin Walker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The wanker.
I mean, there's always a governor that they get all excited about. And they say, oh, he took on labor. Or, you know, oh, he took on teachers in the midst of the COVID crisis. Somebody, they have all these like weird theories about something that's going to make somebody attractive nationally. It never translates. And it won't with DeSantis. In fact, the fact of the matter is that I expect you will see a number of people get in. That, by the way, guarantees Trump's victory because Trump has about 30 to 35% of Republicans. So if it's a multi-candidate field, he's coasting. But beyond that, he will have the joy of taking down these other candidates. And one of the funnest things is that, like, Mike Pompeo is going to run. And so Trump is going to actually get to attack a guy who served with Trump throughout Trump's entire administration. And he'll do it.
Oh, he
of
will.
Of course he will. It didn't stop him from going after Mitch McConnell's wife, right? John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times. The last 3 minutes we got here, John, I want to get your sense. I saw that you wrote an article at The Nation basically saying that the Dems could have won the House but didn't. Yeah. I want to know what you what happened and what do you think they can do going forward?
That's a very good question. Look, I based the article off some new data that's come through from Inside Elections and from the Cook Report and others. They ran all the numbers. And what they found is that in the five seats that gave Republicans control of the House, remember, they've only got a tiny majority, but in the five seats that actually put them over the top, they had an advantage of about 6,700 votes. That's not a lot to shift, right? So what you realize is this is an incredibly close, you know, variation here, one that Democrats could have done better on just on basic elements. But here's where they really screwed up, and it's something that you guys know, and I think most of your listeners know, and that is they decided to run a very cautious race. They were scared that they were going to lose a lot of seats, and so they put all their resources into protecting incumbents, protecting, you know, like swing seats that they were pretty sure they had, and they pulled their money out of rural seats, especially seats like the 3rd District in Western Wisconsin, which I use as an example. And you know, what they decided at the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which is, you know, actually the Democratic Screw-Up Congressional Races Campaign Committee, that they were going to pull all the money out, pull all their support out of the 3rd District, because they didn't think Brad Fast could win. He wasn't exciting enough to them. And so did a lot of the other Democratic-oriented groups, PACs, et cetera. So Fast was left out there in a distinct disadvantage. He was outspent by about $5 million. Overwhelmingly, you know, outgunned. And yet, when the votes were counted, he got over 48% of the vote. He ran better than some of the Republicans or some of the Democrats in targeted races. And so if we understand that, and if we look also at similar races in Oregon, in Western Montana, in Texas, what you realize is that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has a rural problem. They're scared of rural districts. They don't understand them. They pull their money out. They lose, but they lose narrowly. And if they had just had their resources there, they would have won those seats. And if Brad Pfaff and a handful of other people had won the victories that were certainly within reach, they would be in Congress right now and or headed to Congress, and Democrats would have their majority.
And then we might know that Kevin McCarthy was not going to be the speaker. Now we got to wonder. John Nichols, don't have to wonder. We'll look forward to having you back in the new year, maybe around January 3rd, the time they...
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster.
Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your home.